Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning. When you wake up on this fine Thursday, understand dreams do come true. You can be a little child on the south side of the city, have a favorite team, and go, man, someday, man, I am going to be the voice of that team, or I'm going to broadcast something for that team, or I'm going to make it in media because that's what I want to do. Or maybe your dream is to be a doctor or an astronaut. Anything you want, if you want it bad enough, you can do. Hi, Hoodie, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, on a beautiful Thursday.
Let me just tell all of you fine people, I'm David Kaplan, Danny Zetterman, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss. We are your morning team, and we are here. And I called you yesterday because it makes me so happy. I know how hard you've grinded at this profession for so many years. College basketball, call baseball, but never, ever have you gotten the call, you're going to the show.
Yes.
Kid, get your scorebook and your pencil. You're going to the show. My friend, let alone my partner, is going to be the analyst for White Sox baseball Friday night when the Boston Red Sox come to town.
So you got to think about me listening to White Sox baseball as a kid and listening to Jimmy Pearsall and Harry Carey and listening to Joe McConnell. Rich King in the 80s, also doing a little color here and there, early win. Wayne Hagen and John Rooney, where you couldn't determine which one was which for a while. But just listening to radio has always resonated with me, Cap. That's why I'm in the business. But it's one thing to be on the radio. It's another thing to be able to actually call your favorite team, the team that means the most to you in Chicago, like the White Sox.
Yep.
And so what's happening here is that Jason Benetti will be doing college football on Friday. Len Casper, the radio voice of the Sox, moves over to do TV. Connor McKnight fills in for Len, and I fill in for the great Darren Jackson. I got the call. I can't believe I'll be there tomorrow, actually calling the game, my favorite team. That's just going to be great. And with Connor McKnight, it'll be the first time Connor and I have done anything on the radio together. And I've admired Connor for a while because for a young guy to have so much baseball acumen, that's impressive to me, mm-hmm. His knowledge of the game.
And he's a great dude.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's really, really big for me.
So when you come out of the section I sit in my seats over there for the games I go to, I have one of those mini plans. There's a billboard, a light up billboard. Is it a billboard? It's a big sign.
Sure.
That lights up. It's a picture of you and me. And it's listen to Cap and J-Hood after White Sox baseball, 7 to 10 a.m., blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You saw it and you got emotional because Jonathan Hood grew up on the South Side, son of Bob and May Hood. And your dad was a tough dude. He was a Sox fan, mm-hmm. The whole deal. And you, this little kid, man, someday I'm going to be a broadcaster. I want to be on the air. And making your way, but you're at night. You're not really getting the opportunity that you deserve. And then all of a sudden, Mike Thomas rolls in. My guy's doing mornings. He sees this billboard. And I'm not kidding you, folks. Tears. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm doing mornings in Chicago with my friend, blah, blah, blah. Now you're going to be sitting up in the booth calling that game.
That's incredible.
Your dad right now. Yeah. And your mom. But your dad, because of the baseball bond.
Yeah.
is sitting up there in the sky going, that's my kid. Dude, that's amazing.
It is. It really is. And so I'm just grateful for Mike Thomas and Brooks Boyer and the White Sox for allowing me to sit in for Darren Jackson. And that is a huge seat because he's been in that position for a long time doing color.
But I think fans should understand when they're listening to the game. Like, I remember interviewing Vin Scully, and I said, you're very down the middle when you call a game. He said, because I started in New York. Mm-hmm. There were four teams back then. I couldn't alienate 75% of the audience. But he said, in Chicago, it's the most provincial sports town in America. This is Vin Scully saying, the greatest who ever did it. Mm-hmm. He said, when you watch a Cubs game, you wanted to know, Harry, Jack, those guys want my team to win. Same on the South Side.
Yeah.
Whether it was Harry or it's Jason or Hawk Harrelson, whoever it was, they're going to know they got a Sox guy in that booth on Friday.
That's correct. That's correct. I don't represent necessarily me as a broadcaster as much as it is me as a White Sox fan in that spot. And I just know, like I do on this show or any other platform that I'm on, I'm going to have fun. It hasn't even sunk into me yet. I mean, I guess when I get to the ballpark and have my bag of notes mm-hmm. ready to go and my one-liners ready to go,
yep.
I guess that's what is going to really set in. But I'm just grateful for the opportunity. And I just think that I've got to be able to weave in some things here just to wink at our audience, wink at the Cap'n J Hood Show audience. So I just need some help with that as well. Some
correct.
Things. I'm going to have my numbers and my stats and all the things that a White Sox fan wants to hear. Information, but what about the entertainment? What else do I need to mention? Is there anything that you want me to mention?
You got to get a no shot, shot or no shot.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, do you think they bunt here? There's a shot. No shot.
All right.
Got to get that in. And oh, God. That would be G-A-W-D. That's how we spell it on the show.
Don't know if that would work in Fort Wayne, one of our affiliates.
Yeah.
Does that work in Rensselaer?
Exactly. It just... For people to listen and to hear the boyish enthusiasm you're going to bring to the broadcast.
Dude, I'm
going to
be Vince Lloyd. Line drive, base hit! There he goes! A base hit! I'm going to get the bell.
Just cheering in the back. If God forbid somebody gets hit by me, hey, Connor, take over. I'm going downstairs. I got to check on him.
Yes. Connor, my guy's down. I bring you yes.
Plus,
that's a fine. BerniesBookBank.org, by the way.
By the way, Darren.
Get your dollar.
Utnick, the CEO, will be here from Bernie's. We do our big unity walk. Walk is One Chicago coming up on the 23rd of September. So,
yeah, so I just think this is going to be a lot of fun, man. Just what you just think about me growing up as a White Sox fan, and I know I wasn't necessarily the best student, but I always shot for that perfect attendance. You get that perfect attendance, that meant you got free Sox tickets.
Correct.
Of course, those free Sox tickets were behind the left field foul pole. But
they were free nonetheless.
But they were free. I saw half the game as a kid, as a matter of fact. I just saw just the half. The half, there's a pole right between me. Like, I kind of looked up to the left. So I only saw like half the game as a kid. But that's what it means to me. Going to the ballpark, 20 minutes from the ballpark, and going to see the White Sox in the late 70s, early 80s mm-hmm. as a kid.
Yep.
It's great.
It was great.
Yeah.
What did you think of the game last night? Frankie Montas, who's a former White Sox farmhand, by the way.
Well,
that guy could throw. He's been really good the last several starts. Dallas Keuchel, not so much.
Well, you know what? For once, I'm going to give Keuchel credit. Because I think it's pretty obvious now that there's limitations on Keuchel, right? How many mornings have we come in here and talked about a Keuchel start saying, man, he couldn't get out of the third, couldn't get out of the fourth. It seemed like everything's a struggle. 5 2/3, 8 hits, 5 runs. And I watched the game last night, Cap, and it's kind of like, you know what? The Sox are still in the ball game,
mm-hmm.
even when he took off. 5 earned runs, he was charged. But it was on the White Sox offense. I just couldn't get anything done against Montas. Sometimes you just have to tip your cap. I'd rather not with Montas and the A's, but, if you're going to lose one, lose against the ace, and that's exactly what happened. The Sox bats just were not – they just couldn't get things going with just the one run. But with Keuchel, It's what you expect now. What is it now? 8-9, his record?
Not good.
You know what Jeff asked me? Jeff Miller asked me on Friday. He says, do you think that not just will Keuchel make a start in the playoffs, will he make the roster for the playoffs? I don't know the answer to that question. Because you already have Bummer from the left side, Crochet from the left side.
Well, he's not a strikeout guy. You're not using him out of the pen, I wouldn't think.
Well, that's why Jeff asked me. He says, do you even think he can, not just, obviously not the rotation at this point in time. You can't rely on him in the rotation.
Well,
if you're healthy. If you're healthy, like you know the ball club being healthy, then he won't make it in the playoff scenario as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he make the roster? If you're already confident in what you have on the left side, what does Keuchel bring? It takes a half hour for him to warm up. He's a starter. So how does that work with him being a bullpen guy? Does he make it? I don't know.
Wow. And he was a signature piece when he was signed.
Correct.
Forever, $56 million, I think. Hard to believe he wouldn't be on the roster, but in a best-of-five series, how can you give him a roster spot? There's no charity here, man, and he wouldn't want charity. He doesn't deserve to be there. Now, Lance Lynn's on the injured list with a bulky knee.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Giolito on the injured list with a bulky hamstring.
Sure.
You got Tim Anderson with whatever's going on with his legs. He's on the injured list. The pitching hasn't been great. Like, right now, today, your ace is Dylan Cease.
Yes. But that will change.
We would hope
at the end of September that you'll get all your starters back. But answer the question, does he make the roster? Should he make the roster?
If everyone's healthy, no, he should not.
That's a tough one. And then you talk about how tough Keuchel is. I guess my other thing is, if he's not on the roster and you need him back for the next series, if you get to the next series, is he good? Does he realize, okay, now I got to lock in? I mean, what's his mentality? Because now LaRussa could tell him, well, we just don't need you in this first round. What does that do to Dallas Keuchel, a proud man?
If he's all about winning, which he always has preached,
mm-hmm.
I just want what's best for the team, then he takes his medicine and he goes and sits in the stands or wherever you have to sit during the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It is what it is, man. Numbers don't lie. I tweeted something. I'm trying to remember who I was talking about. And I was critical of a player. And all I did was lay out his numbers. I didn't take a personal shot. Nothing. Here's his numbers. Oh, I was comparing Rizzo to Schwindel. And I simply said they have the same war.
Yep.
And Schwindel's batted a third of the number of times.
Sure.
And somebody wrote me, that's so disloyal for you to take a personal shot at Rizzo. And I wrote back and said, I love Anthony Rizzo. What? When did laying out the stats become taking a shot? Those are the numbers.
Well, you know in this country, people don't like facts.
Correct. That's what I wrote to him. It's exactly what I wrote. I said, oh, I guess the facts are taking a shot. I remember I had a player with the Cubs on postgame. I went, this guy was awful tonight. 0-for-4 and left 11 guys on base. And the next day he's like, you were brutal on me last night. I go, dude, you were 0-for-4. What do you want me to do?
Strange country in 2021 and beyond, by the way, when you can lay out facts and people find a gray area in facts.
Correct.
How's that gray if it's actually a fact?
Well, my knee was bothered. Hey, man, that don't play. 312-332-3776. While one of our bosses is making hoodies childhood dream come true, one of our, I call him an underboss. One of our underbosses lied to me. I mean, I bought it, hook, line, and sinker. He completely just twisted the facts. We'll tell you who that was next.
Take that.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
In the great city of Chicago with my guy, Jonathan Hood, who will be on the call of the White Sox and the Red Sox with Connor McKnight on Friday night when Len slides over to TV. And it's so great to see the smile that you've got. Like, you're just, you can't wait to, not to get the show over, but to get there.
Absolutely.
Like, the best part of vacation is, like, the night before when you're packing, you get up in the morning and you're headed to the airport. Like, that's, like, it's great being there, but it's that anticipation.
Yes.
And that's where you're at.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. And I can't wait for it. It's just, again, it is great for this opportunity for me. Never thought I'd see myself in that position. And now I'm in that position, which is really, really awesome.
Okay, so what if you got there and you found out tomorrow, oh, God, the game's in Boston. No one told me.
I'd be there. I'd charter a flight and get there.
You'd be really ticked.
No, like, I'd get there.
How could you guys not tell me?
No, I would be there.
Well, what if an underboss, Mike's the big boss.
Uh-huh.
What if an underboss?
Uh-huh.
His name's Randy Merkin.
That's mafia talk there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Underboss, okay. Yeah.
What if an underboss called you and said, hey, man, we need you. Could you do an appearance on Thursday night?
Mm-hmm.
Randy, I get up really early to go to work. Where? Barrington.
Okay. You've been to Barrington?
Yes.
Sure.
That was his quote. Barrington.
Mm-hmm.
And you found out, Danny, how far does it look like on the map it is from Barrington?
Boy, it's at least 20 miles from Barrington.
It's like not even close to
Not
Barrington.
Even close. Like, if you look on your phone, I brought it up in Maps on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Barrington was on the far right of my iPhone, and Gilbert's was on as far left as you could go.
So you have an appearance in, not Barrington, Gilbert's?
Gilbert's. I've never even heard of Gilbert's.
Really?
And I have a text from him. Hey, buddy, South Barrington. I'm like, South Barrington? Dude, that's like 30 miles from South Barrington.
Wow. So how far do you have to drive to get there?
A long way.
How long?
It would be an hour each way from my house.
What?
Yes.
But he doesn't say, okay. If there is, say, for instance, it was in Barrington, right? And like, but it's actually in Gilbert. Now, you'd be pretty ticked off when it's in the wrong spot. That is the equivalent of me saying, hey, Miller, you have an appearance on the south side. Oh, yeah? Like, where is it? Like,
Champagne.
Is it, where is it? No, it's in Bourbonnais. You know, that'd be a long way.
Right.
So that's a problem. So what are you going to do to solve this? What are you going to do to Merkin?
Make him drive me.
Okay. It's, I don't think. Well, if you supply him with enough candy and cookies, I'm sure he wouldn't mind doing it.
How slow do you think Merkin drives?
Oh, my God.
He's got to drive like your grandpa. You know, my grandpa, he used to drive by pressing the gas off the gas, on the gas, off the gas. Like, the whole time you'd rock forward because it was like accelerate, no accelerate, accelerate, no accelerate. That's how I picture Merkin driving.
Well, I figure he has plastic on the seats in the car.
Oh.
He wears blue blocker sunglasses, like those goggles, yes. The black, dark black,
yes.
Goggles.
Yes.
Yes. And he might have one of those things on the steering wheel, like the, with the grip. Like the arthritic grip.
They still sell those, I think, from time to time for the older folk. Much older folk.
Like Randy.
Yes. I cannot believe. I mean, listen, when you're going on an appearance or remote, whatever, you got to be specific, man. Exactly the right city, the right address, the right bar, whatever, right? That, I mean, that's like night and day where you're talking about Barrington and Gilbert's.
Yeah, my wife said to me the other day, maybe I'll come meet you for the remote. Yeah, it's in South Barrington. South Barrington. I may as well be in Gilbert, Arizona. Yes. And I'm excited to go there.
Yes.
On behalf of the fine folks at Coors Pure.
Yeah, that's great.
Pub 72.
That's great, but like, you should be given the right address.
Correct. That's my point.
That's crazy.
Cap, it's, you're supposed to be there at 7. It's 7:10. Where are you? I'm in South Barrington, Randy. I'm waiting. I don't see this place.
I've gotten Randy before, you know, because he will say something and then it goes the opposite, the whole different direction. I'll give you an example. Bulls, Bucks. I said, Randy, I need a credential to go to Milwaukee to see the Bulls and the Bucks. Oh, no problem, buddy. I got it. All right, thanks. Like, no problem, right? Just blowing me off. And it's on a Saturday. And I call Randy and I go, hey, where do I pick up my credential? Oh, buddy, I forgot. I was like, I got you. You never put in the credential for me. I asked you to put a credential. You never did. And I called him like, hey, where do I find the parking? I'm not here in Milwaukee. I'm in Chicago. Because I know you didn't put the credential in.
Correct.
Take that.
Yeah.
Because I
you got, like me, you got merchant.
I already know.
You ever see Kingpin, the movie Kingpin?
Yes, I have.
Get
yes.
Munsoned? I yes. got merchant.
Yeah.
It's like you.
It's amazing.
Thanks a lot, Randy.
You work mornings, man.
Yes.
You should be able to know, like, hey, man, I just need to know exactly where I need to be so I can be able to get there and go home. Gilbert's.
I've recruited the entire state when I coached.
Yes.
Never heard of Gilbert's. I'm at Gilbert's. In fact, when I was recording the commercial for it, I said to Joe McCardle, our voiceover guru.
Yeah.
No, there's no place called Gilbert's. Yes, there is. And he looked it up. Yes, there is. Okay.
Wow.
I will be there. I'm sure it's a lovely place.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be there tonight.
You just like to have a little intel before you get there.
Yeah, I just don't want to get merkined.
The right place.
Thank you. talking White Sox baseball as my partner will be on the call tomorrow night. White Sox, Red Sox at guaranteed rate. Jarvis in Hammond. Hey, Jarvis, what's up, man?
Good morning. First of all, I want to congratulate Jay Hood. You just inspired me to go back. I am a graduate of IMS.
Yes.
Illinois Media School.
Yes.
That's on State Street. So I am going back. I'm 50 years old. You have just inspired me. But my question is to you all, when you was talking about Dallas Keuchel, does this remind you, and I'm a Cub fan, but I like the White Sox too. Does this remind you when they had a situation with Jason Hammel and John Lackey when they were struggling? I mean, they were struggling. The Cubs was up big in the division. They had just opened it up from St. Louis. They was up big, and they made a decision. Remember when they put Lackey and Hammel in the bullpen? Do the White Sox seriously take Keuchel off the roster for the playoffs, or do you put him in the bullpen and use him, let's say, somebody in the playoffs may be getting knocked around? Do you use him to stretch out innings, or do you use him in the or do you not put him on the roster? I'm just curious to know, because every time I watch him, it seems like each time that he's getting harder, hit harder and harder and harder.
Well,
congratulations, Jay Hood, and I'm going to listen to you all.
Jarvis, thank you very much.
Have a great day, Jarvis.
Do you remember that scenario of Lackey?
I do.
And Hamels both going to the bullpen, right?
2016, correct.
And how did it work? I'm sure. I know Lackey didn't like it at all.
Because
he's a gamer, man. I mean, he wants to battle and be in that starting rotation.
I remember that, and I think he was always a pro. He could be a surly you-know-what to deal with.
That's correct.
The day he pitched, like, he had no use for the media. None. But I remember the first time I met him. Hey, John, David Kaplan, I do the pre and the post on TV. He said, I'll be fine to deal with 4 days a week. Just stay the F out of my way on the day I pitch.
Understood.
Yes, sir. Got you. No problem. But he was a character. Dallas Keuchel. Again, it depends on the health of the pitching staff. Like, if at the end of the year, Kimbrel, Hendricks, Bummer, Tapera, like, those are your top four relievers.
I don't know if there's a space for him. You don't have three lefties in the bullpen, right, in the playoffs. There's no need for him.
You got Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
That's five. You're going to have...
Bummer?
I said him.
Yeah.
Bummer, Kimbrel, Hendricks, Tapera, and Crochet.
Yeah.
That's five really good high leverage arms.
Sure.
Really good.
I just don't know where there's a space for a guy that's surrendering five runs or more the last four games.
Correct.
That's just not going to get it done. Yeah, he's barely surviving these games. You know, before that, it was just three innings against Kansas City on the 3rd of September. Three runs, seven hits, six runs. No. Five runs against the Cubs on the 27th of August.
All in the first inning. He didn't last a full inning.
Six runs against the Tampa Bay Rays on the 21st of August. That just won't get it done. It just won't. I don't know what happened to his stuff. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's confidence or just ability, but it's not working for him at all.
Again, it depends. I don't know what I've followed Tony from afar. Yeah. I don't know what his philosophy is on playoff roster makeup. Does he want an extra arm? Then maybe he makes it. Does he want an extra bat? Does he want a pinch runner like a Billy Hamilton if he's healthy? That's to be determined.
You'd probably want a little bit more offense and someone on the bench than to deal with that. I mean, that's a non-productive player, in my view.
Yep.
He's not saying he's not trying. What I'm saying is that the effort is not there. It's just the production that you want. Five innings, fine, but don't give up five or six runs. That's not going to work.
312-332-3776. Game one for the beloved Bears. Fast approaching for Sunday Night Football on NBC. We check in at Halas Hall with our guy, Dan Wiederer. He gets us set for the matchup and the latest on all the injuries. That's next. Take that.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
It's 7:36 in the great city of Chicago, and you're home for White Sox baseball. We've got baseball this afternoon, White Sox and Oakland A's. Pre-game show starts at 1:30. Is that correct?
Sounds about right.
And it'll close out the series. Reynaldo Lopez is on the bump. Sox will try and take two of three in Oakland and then come home for the Boston Red Sox with my guy Jonathan Hood and Connor McKnight on the call with Len moving to TV.
I think your pregame's at 2 with a 2:37 start.
There you go.
You are correct with a bonus 4-hour Carmen and Yurko show today, boys.
Nice.
They're up till 2.
How about that? So we go Carm Yurk till 2,
yeah,
and then we replace Waddle Sylvie for the day. Enjoy the day, boys. For White Sox baseball.
Carmen Yurko, 10 to 2. So you people on Twitter can give it a rest for a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
All right. Dan Wiederer is our guy. He also works for the Chicago Tribune. He does a masterful job on the Chicago Bears beat. It is a banged up club. It appears from the morning injury report that our great EP, executive producer Danny Zetterman, gave us. And that leads us to Dan Wiederer. Dan, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are very well. How serious is this lengthy injury report? Eddie Goldman, knee ankle, did not practice. Jimmy Graham just got a non-injury resting day. But then you had Joel Igwebunye, shoulder limited. Khalil Mack, groin limited. Darnell Mooney, back. Where'd that come from? Limited. Robert Quinn, back. All right. Limited. All right. There's a lot to unpack there. Are these guys going to play?
First of all, it's EA Booneyway. Say it with me now. EA Booneyway.
EA Booneyway.
Okay.
Yes.
EA Booneyway.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's get that right going forward.
You work with me. You should get that right. Go ahead, Dan.
Wow.
Eddie Goldman news needs developing, right? And we need to hear from Matt Nagy this morning on exactly what happened, when it happened, how severe it is, and what that means up front. These other guys who are limited, I'm not all that concerned about Mooney. Mack, obviously, after he was on the injury report 10 games out of 16 last year, you'd like to see him go into the season not dealing with something that's bothering him. But he was on the practice field yesterday, didn't look hampered by it. Quinn is another guy that you're constantly going to have the yellow highlighter on and say, hey, what's going on with him this week? Is he able to play a full complement of snaps? Is he able to give you what you need? Otherwise, you got to start looking at your depth at edge rusher. I'm not super concerned about the health of this team right now. There are bigger concerns for this team, and one of them is the Los Angeles Rams and all the challenges that they put on you, both offensively and defensively. It's not an easy test for the Bears to take out of the gates, and I don't know that next week is going to be all that cheery in this city.
What are we looking at with the Rams offensively with Matt Stafford and company? What are your expectations for the Rams, the new-look Rams?
Yeah, I mean, it's really trying to figure out what that new look looks like, right? Obviously, there was great excitement in L.A. And particularly in Sean McVay's office to go out and get a veteran who has talents that Jared Goff didn't have and has experience that Jared Goff didn't have and can open up parts of your offense. Now, Stafford in that first unit offense didn't play at all in August, and so we have no idea what any of it looks like, right? And so it's a little bit of a guessing game into what that's going to translate into on Sunday night. I think what you always see with the Rams is they use so much motion and play action and all these other things that really challenge a defense to be disciplined. You hear a lot about eye discipline this week at Halas Hall about guys on the back end, even guys up front, making sure that they see enough but don't see too much, locked in to slow this offense down. Stafford's a really good quarterback. He's in an offense now that should bring out the fullest potential that he has, and now I think everyone in L.A. wants to see what that looks like, and the Bears have the challenge of trying to slow it down.
Dan, you tweeted earlier, and we've discussed this on the show with you, about that you think the offense can be, it's the bright way to paraphrase, markedly improved. Do you still feel that way?
Yes, and again, like I appreciate you asking that question because it requires context, and we're talking about an offense that was 29th 2 years ago, an offense that was 26th a year ago in total yards. And so you're looking about a jump that gets them into the teens, right? Like, get out of the 20s, get yourself up to 19, 18, maybe 17. And that qualifies here in Chicago as significant improvement. You're still in the bottom half of the league, but you've made significant improvement. And I think this group can do that. I think they're going to be better at quarterback. I think the running game is going to be more established. And I, for one, don't have the panic that a lot of people in Chicago seem to have about the offensive line. Do I think it's a top-tier offensive line? Absolutely not. But am I as concerned as the outside world seems to be about how disastrous it is up front? I'm not.
You think about some of the young play callers that are around the NFL, the McVays, the Kyle Shanahans, Matt LaFleur, Mike McDaniel, all part of that Washington staff at some point. They're all Washington assistants. So where does Nagy fall, do you feel, as far as the play callers around the league? Because I see Sean McVay, because he's been to the Super Bowl, been there and done that, I see McVay having a little bit of a leg up on Matt.
Yeah, I mean, no question there. I mean, one of the questions that I asked Matt earlier this week is how he would define progress in 2021 for the entire team. And I think this is an important question for all of us because it sort of circles back to job security and whether the belief from above and the guys leading the team is justified or whether it should be challenged. And Matt said one of his goals for this season is to make sure that they know what they have offensively much, much sooner. He said, you know, by week 4, 5, or 6, you should know who you are. You should know what you are as an offense. I think in the last couple years, we've seen an offense that has gotten into December and still been talking about, man, once we find our identity, well, it shouldn't take that long. And that's on the guy who oversees the offense. That's on the guy who calls plays to make sure that he's catering the playbook to the strengths of the players he has. And right now, Matt is at best unproven, at worst unqualified, you know, in some ways for the role that he has. And he's got to answer that question in 2021. I think a lot of this year for us on the outside who are going to be assessing this team, you have to figure out how high power does the microscope need to be and what slides are you putting under there. One of the slides that needs to be in there every week is Matt Nagy as the offensive overseer, and what does that look like?
Well, you hear what he said there?
Yeah.
Dan, again, unproven street and unqualified boulevard, that's nowhere to be.
Nowhere.
Seriously.
Get on it, put on the GPS and find a way out, right?
Especially when you were hired because you were an offensive guru.
Correct. Right. And so this is why there is this worry in the city. I want to bounce this off you guys because it's sort of alarming to me, but also just trying to figure it all out because there's been this roller coaster in the city where obviously the January press conference was a disaster. When they signed Andy Dalton, it was not received well. I think we could find some audio of Cap on the days after the Dalton signing saying that this, you know, brain trust wasn't qualified to run a Toys R Us or something to that extent. And then Justin Fields was drafted, and there was this surge of euphoria around the Fields pick, and now because Fields isn't starting, it seems like that great sense of anxiety and dread has crept back into the city. There's an exciting week one opener on primetime against the Rams, and yet around the city you sort of feel this worry that seems to be the predominant emotion. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I think there are some people that are so anti-Dalton, so anti-Ryan Pace, so anti-Matt Nagy, mm-hmm. that no matter what they do, if it doesn't have Justin Fields starting a game, that they just, this team stinks, they're going to get crushed. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do. I believe that. Yeah, I believe that crowd is out there. And now I think it's probably trying to figure out a way around that to get a true sense of who this team is. And again, I think this kind of circles back to what would we all define as progress and improvement? Those were the buzzwords used by George and Ted back in the winter on what they needed to see in 2021. And for me, it's not necessarily a win total. It's not necessarily a return to the playoffs. For me, it's you know, what does the development of Justin Fields look like throughout 2021? What does it look like at the end of 2021? And do you feel going into 2022 that he's your for sure long-term answer at the position? Everything else doesn't matter quite as much as that. And so it's a complicated season because if they go 7-10, but Fields looks like Herbert did a year ago or Burrow did a year ago, and you feel really good about solidifying that position, then does the 7-10 and the lack of a playoff appearance bother you as much?
Well, I just think that one of the things that Cap and I have talked about, Dan, is that you can see that there's divide between Justin Fields fans and actual Bears fans. Because if you're a Bears fan, no matter who's under center, you should be rooting for the team. But you could just tell, I don't know if merchandise sales or just because it's new and fresh, but the idea that people are just pro Justin Fields and whatever happens with nagging the Bears, I don't think you can separate the two, but I think we've heard a lot of that this summer.
It's a combination of excitement and impatience. It's an understandable one because obviously Fields is who he is. He's very dynamic. He's got a ton of potential. I think the best news that this franchise has from the last 4 months is that this kid came in to Halas Hall and has been everything that the Bears thought he would be and more. And so that's why I think some of the sort of swelling up of the angst and the worry is a little bit off base with what's actually happening there, because your future franchise quarterback is making all the strides he needs to make. He's just not ready to start week one, and you should be really excited that you know, he came in through OTAs, minicamp, training camp, preseason games, and checked all the boxes they asked him to check. And so that should be an exciting thing, and it shouldn't be something that leads you into the season feeling like, oh, my God, everything is off the rails again.
We're tight on time very quickly. Of the extensive injury list, are you concerned about Mack and Mooney and Eddie Goldman?
Well, Goldman, yeah. I mean, 100% on Goldman, because he missed all last season. He missed time in camp with a back issue as well as a positive COVID test. And so you need that guy in the front of your defense. And if he's not able to go, you're reshuffling again. And you didn't think you'd have to be reshuffling there. So we need to get an update later this morning, figure out what it means for this week and beyond, and see where it takes us.
Hey, man, have a great day.
All right, guys.
Appreciate you, Dan. There he is, Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune and ESPN 1000. Eddie Jackson, our guy. Tommy Waddle's guy, Eddie Jackson, on what he sees in Justin Fields.
It's about time we got a black, you know what I'm saying?
A real quarterback.
What? No, I don't know what you mean, right? What do you mean, Eddie?
We'll play it next.
About time.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Rolling on, Cap and J-Hood, ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. Football week is here. We get it started tonight with Cowboys and Bucks. Going to be really cool to have NFL regular season football back on my TV screen or in Gilbert's, Illinois.
Yes.
And I'll be out there tonight at Pub 72 from 7 to 9. So I hope you'll come out and watch the game with me for a while. We'll have a good time and give away twosomes to the ESPN 1000 golf outing at Flossmoor Country Club on Tuesday.
Ever play? Fine course.
It is a very nice course.
Very nice.
Very nice course. So, yes, I will be. I played there actually with Casey Johnson, Teddy Greenstein, and one more. I can't remember who the fourth was, but it was fun. We had a good time. That's a long time ago. And I know Tommy Waddle's a big fan of that course. So, we'll all be out there on Tuesday. So, come on out tonight to Pub 72 in Gilbert's, Illinois. So, Eddie Jackson has got to have a big year this year. Like in 2018 is when he got paid. Off of six defensive touchdowns for that team. He was amazing. And then they brought in Ha-Ha Clinton Dix to play the other safety spot. Correct. It wasn't a real good fit together. And Eddie had some struggles with turnovers. Mm-hmm. He did not force the number of interceptions and fumbles. And we've seen the defense regress some. Well, Eddie Jackson has sworn, I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm ready to go. We're getting back to, with Sean Desai, what we did under Vic Fangio. He was also asked about Justin Fields in an interview with WGN TV sportscaster Jarrett Payton.
I say where he's at right now in his career. Like, to be this young, you know, having played a real NFL game, how smart he is, like, how he go through his read, his progression, how he can extend plays, man. And, you know, and Justin, one thing about Justin, Justin's not scared to take a shot down the field. So if it's one-on-one with you and A-Rob, he gonna bet on his man, you know, and just to have that type of security, you know, that type of confidence as a young quarterback is hard. It's really hard. You really never see that. So just to see the type of confidence level, you heard what he said, like the game was slow. Like we on the sideline watching him preseason the game, like we take him out. It's too easy for him. Like it's too easy for him. Just take him out of the game. Like it's just too easy for him, and just see how comfortable he is, man. That's really like that's very rare you see in a quarterback.
What he was saying there was pretty much,
oh, that's my time. We got a surreal, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, my God, black quarterback.
Yeah, by time we get us a real, you know what I'm saying? Let's go, man.
Let's go, man.
Now, what are you saying? what are you saying, Eddie Jackson?
That whole clip when Roger Goodell does this flowery, beautiful introduction of Carlos Nelson.
And it will open in 2022.
Mm-hmm. We get all that. Come on.
Congratulations, Carlos, and please take it away with the Bear selection.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
You better say something I like to hear, Carlos. Carlos, you better say what I like to hear.
Well, how exciting is this?
Come on, Carlos.
With the 11th pick.
Let's go.
In the 2021.
You better say Justin Fields and Mac Jones.
Let's go.
My Chicago Bears select Justin.
Oh, you're a black quarterback. Yeah. By time we get us a real, you know what I'm saying? Let's go, man.
Now, it was interesting about that, Jeff, is that he was rooting for Justin Fields or Mac Jones in that spot.
Yes.
Either one.
Well, because
just anybody but
do
Mitch.
You think he would have felt the same way about Mac Jones had Eddie Jackson not gone to Alabama?
Ooh, we got Mac Jones. It's about time we got some real. Well, we already had one of them. Hold on. I think that's what he would have
so
said.
So great when he says it.
Well, I mean, that's the true raw emotion. Believe me, what he said was all over the city.
Okay, so my guy.
All over Bears Nation.
So my guy Joe at Obvious Shirts, like, he had a shirt about Lackey. I didn't come for a haircut. I came for jewelry. Mm-hmm. Let's get it on. Let's go, man. I mean, let's go,
yeah,
man.
By time we get us a real, you know what I'm saying? Let's go, man.
That's what I wanted the T-shirt. I want.
It's about time.
I want. Ow, we got us a black quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Us a black quarterback.
Yeah, I want that. And then I want. It's about time.
Yeah.
By
time we get us a real. You know what I'm saying? Let's go, man.
Let's go, man.
That's what I want. No, I want the whole thing. I want two T-shirts. By the time we got a black quarterback and the other one.
Front and back hoodie.
Yes.
Front and back.
That's
On the front.
Oh, you're a black quarterback!
Front.
Back.
Yeah! By the time we got us real. You know what I'm saying? Let's go, man.
The best. I just want that drop. Let's go, man.
I want the black quarterback.
It's about time we got us a real quarterback.
About us a real, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Let's go.
Man. I don't know what you mean there.
All right, shot or no shot is in exactly 2 minutes.
What's he saying?
Oh, you're a black quarterback! Yeah! By time we get us a real, you know what I'm saying? Let's go, man. Let's go, man.